You're listening to an audio recording from Brimley Baptist Church. For more resources or to give to this ministry, please visit brimleyworship.com.
Amen. All right. And two things. In regards, and I was talking to another person this week, and it's interesting because sometimes the whole offering thing, sometimes we don't even really understand sometimes how some churches operate. And so for us as a church, just so everybody knows, we're an independent church, right? Independent church. So we're not supported by any outside churches or part of, everything that happens and that is done through this church is sustained and supported through the people here. And a lot of people don't know that. They think maybe there's denominational ties. And while there's been times, like I remember when we first got here, the church that I previously came from paid for the projector and for the screen because we didn't have that, you know. And while sometimes there may be an external gift given by another church, we're self-sustained, self-supported. And so when we think about this building, it's here it is right here. It's us and the Lord, or really it's the Lord, and whatever he gives us. And so just keep that in mind too. And then also, as a church grows and, you know, we're coming up on 5 years, this will be our fifth year here. And it's just great. You know, it's been great. You know, we've seen people come and we're sad to see them go. And there's, you see people that come and to get plugged in, and Ryan's one of those fellas that God is calling him to be in a different place. You know, I believe 100% it's the Lord's will. We've talked about it. Ryan is the fellow that sits up here and that really has the gift of rhythm, unlike me. He's been a crucial part of just the worship team, and happy for him going, sad to see him go, but it's his will be done, and I do honestly, truly believe it's his will to be done. And it's crazy how God works and brings people in for a time and just uses them to strengthen and encourage the body, and then also take them to other places where they can strengthen other bodies and be used of the Lord. And so, Ryan, we're going to miss you because I believe this is your last week or next week. Yeah, so... Yes. Trying to get him to come back. You know what I'm saying? We'll get him back. Just sometimes God works that way, and we are grateful for the time that we get with those, whether it's in Coast Guard, you know, that are here for maybe a year or two or whatever it may be. We are grateful for those who come in. So, Ryan, we love you, brother. We love you, and we're praying for that next adventure. In your life. And so open your Bibles. Anybody know where we're at now? Ecclesiastes 9. Man, we're just rolling right on through. Rolling right on through. And so while you're turning there, I want to make you aware of two big events that I want you to put on your calendar. So June 1st is our church picnic coming up. That is, I'm starting to really love that time. Number one, because we're all outside together for one service, right? So we can't really outgrow the outside, so we'll be good. So I'm looking forward to just having a great time. We have our church picnic. We'll have hamburgers, hot dogs, chicken, a lot of different things. People bring sides. It's a great time to be able to invite people. We got the bounce houses and all that, you know, the obstacle course. It's the obstacle course. So you're going to see just how competitive guys can get as they're dragging each other down through the obstacle course. It's a great time. It's a fun time. So I'll say this, plan to be here, plan to invite someone. We're going to set up the tent. If you're able to help out with that event, it takes a lot of people to be able to bring that event together. We got to set up hundreds of chairs and many tables and just a lot of setup to go with that and serving and those kind of things. We could use your help. If that's something that you're able to help out with, please see Todd for that, and we'll begin to give out task and stuff here in the weeks to come. And then also, most importantly, and I want you to begin to pray about this now, is our revival's coming up. If there's one time that we as Christians ought to make sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that we're here, that we're focused in, it's June 15th through the 17th. It's going to be Sunday morning. Yes, come back Sunday night. Yes, come back Monday night. Yes, come back Tuesday night. Pastor Scott Toole is going to be here from Baltimore, Maryland, and he's going to be walking us through. I'll let him tell you when he gets here, but I'm excited about this time of intentional focus. It's intentional focus to reset our hearts back to the Lord. You say, well, I just went to church yesterday. I just went to church. Hey, listen, if you miss it, I promise it will be to your own heart, your own hurt, because you're going to be hearing and the word of God's going to be poured out and you want to be here. We have dinner Monday and Tuesday night because we know people are coming from work and stuff like that. So we'll have dinner here. We're going to have a great time. But most importantly, it's a time for us to hit the spiritual reset button. You know, I got to work. I got this. I got that. Hey, I'm telling you now a month and a half in advance, and I've told you before, you want to set this time aside. It will be a blessing to your soul. And so don't forget June 15th through the 18th. That is Father's Day as well. So with that said, we are in Exodus, that's on Wednesday night, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, and basically today we're looking at a wise look at life, This whole chapter talks a lot about life, and Solomon kind of, when we get to the end of the book, we're going to have a very narrow point. Solomon has, he's brought in this broad perspective, and as we get closer and closer and closer and closer and closer to the end of the book, and I mean literally the very last verses of the book, where he narrows down his point, what he is trying to communicate to us through this book. So let's all stand for the reading of God's word. If you can, you can read along with me. It says, "For all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them. All things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean, to the unclean, to him that sacrifices and to him that sacrifices not. As is the good, so is the sinner, and he that sweareth as he that feareth an oath." Amen. Thank you for keeping me in line on that. Let's pray real quick before we sit. Lord, I love you, and I do thank you for allowing us to be here, Lord. I pray that you would meet with us now. I pray that you'd open our eyes. I pray that you'd set our attentions. I know it's beautiful outside, and we can't wait to get home and think about all the things that we're going to do, but I pray that, Lord, you would help us intentionally put our focus on you here and now. Lord God, please give us ears to hear and eyes to see what your word has for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. All right. So Solomon, through all his experience in life and what he learned, he gives us a wise look at life. He's kind of sharpening and narrowing down his approach as he's told us what doesn't work. Now he's teaching us understanding and wisdom and what does work as he brings us to understand three important things about life. And we're not getting through this whole chapter today. We're going to get through the first half. The first thing that he's teaching us today, and we'll go over these points, is we will all encounter similar life events. We will all encounter similar life events. Next one is, we should prepare for what we know is coming. We should prepare for what we know is coming. And then our time is limited. Make the most of it. Our time is limited. Make the most of it. And so as we look at these three things, we're going to jump in. Point number one, we will encounter similar life events. And I'm grateful for the Word of God and that God, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, uses men to teach us such truths. Look at verse number one. We all will encounter similar life events. Look at number one. "For all this I considered in my heart, even to declare this. He's teaching us what he's learned. He's teaching us what God has told him. He's teaching us what he has learned through painful experiences and godly wisdom and the Holy Spirit, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred or experiences or basically knows what they're going to experience throughout life, whether good things or bad things, basically. Either love or hatred by all that is before him. Solomon has examined life and declares to us that the works of the righteous man and the wise man are directed by God because he delights to follow his ways. Now, I want you to think about this in contrast. In contrast to the wicked or the wayward person who seeks not after God's way, his ways, that wicked man, that wayward man, aren't directed, they're dictated. A case in point, Jonah. Was his way directed or was his way dictated? At first it was directed, right? Hey, I want you to go here. Jonah said, not doing it. He's like, okay, you don't have a choice now in the matter. I'm going to send you a whale to accomplish my will. For the righteous man, his way is directed because he delights to follow the Lord. And that's why I like when it says that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. They're seeking from God direction. God is directing their steps, even though they may not know the outcome. But either way, God's will inevitably will be done. Whether it's through direction or dictation, it's going to happen one way or the other. Proverbs 21:1 says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the waters of river, he turneth it whithersoever he will. The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. God directs it. God turns it. God leads it. Whether righteous or unrighteous, whether that a righteous king or that unrighteous king, Nebuchadnezzar, right? God's using him, leading and directing him. Proverbs 16:9 says, a wise man's heart deviseth his way or makes a plan, but the Lord directeth his step. At the end of the day, a wise man or a righteous man seeking after God, he may lay a path that he thinks God wants him to go in, and rightfully so, because I think as Christians, even when we look at and we say, God, I really don't know A or B. I wholeheartedly want your will in life. When we step out by faith and choose one or the other, I promise you, your Heavenly Father's not going to let you make the wrong choice at the end of the day. If your true desire and heart is to follow the Lord's direction. And so ultimately, no individual can fully comprehend, though, the course of their life except for God. And that's why he says, but God directs his step. God directs his step. Yes, the righteous, the wise seek after the Lord, but God ultimately knows the outcome. However, the just and the wise will place their faith in his guidance regardless of the results. And this is important. Whether they appear favorable or unfavorable. And that's important that you understand that because it's leading to the very next verse. And so I want to read this again. Ultimately, no individual can fully comprehend the course of their life except for God. When it says God directs his steps. However, the just and the wise will place their faith in the Lord. They're placing their faith in his guidance, regardless of the results, whether they appear favorable or unfavorable. Let's look at the very next verse. Look at verse number 2. All things come alike to all. Basically, that phrase is letting us know that Solomon has learned in his days, we all will experience similar life situations. Let's read on to see who he is referring to here. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked. Basically, the same thing that will happen to the righteous man in life will happen to the wicked man in life. Let's read on. To the good and to the clean. So the guy that's good, that's clean, the same event. And to the unclean, that person that's way is unclean before the Lord. To him that sacrifices, the one that gives to the Lord, is going to experience the same things as the one that sacrifices not to the Lord. As is the good, the one that's trying to seek doing God's will for his life. So is the sinner, and he that sweareth as he that feareth an oath. Basically, Solomon is cluing us in on this little, especially in our culture today, in the health and wealth, prosperity, gospel age, where if you do everything and you give your money and this and that, your life is going to be perfect. Baloney. Baloney. I'm all for, and we'll talk about, yes, God blesses obedience, but that is not what Solomon is saying here. And what Solomon is saying is absolutely true. What sets, and I want you to think about this, right? Because he's talking about this, the wise, the righteous, their direction is in the hand of the Lord. They're seeking the Lord, but at the end of the day, only God knows the outcome of what's going to happen in our life, whether good, bad, struggles, whatever it may be. Here, Solomon highlights the same cancer that the wicked man will be the same cancer that the righteous man will have. The same financial struggles that the wicked man has will be the same financial struggles that the righteous man will have. And on and on. But the issue isn't the struggle. What sets the righteous apart from the wicked is not the events that they will encounter, because they both will encounter similar events throughout their life. What sets them apart is how they walk through those events and what they look like when they come out on the other side. That's the difference. What Solomon is highlighting here is not the events, because the events are the same for both the righteous and the wicked. Whether blessings or difficulties, whatever it is, the highlighted thing is not the events that makes the difference. It's how we come out the other side of those happenings in our life. You will know a person is righteous not by the hardship that they go through or that they face, but how they walk through them. You ever met somebody going through an extremely difficult time, but their spirit it's not in the dumps like it should be or could be? Their demeanor's different. Their focus and their dependency in those times are different. I can't help but think about Job. What Job went through and the trials he endured are not as significant as how he walked through them. Because we all will walk through the loss of, maybe not every single one of us, but there's going to be people that are going to experience the loss of loved ones. It's going to experience pain and great blessings throughout their life. For Job, what makes his story stand out different than anybody else's is how he walked through it. How he got through that difficult time on the other coming out. Hey, I once had a relationship with the Lord where I just heard his words, but now my relationship with the Lord is so close with him, I see the Lord. I've heard, but now my eye seeth. In the beginning of the book, hey, I heard the word, but now at the end of the book, hey, I see. Job understood, blessed came I out of my mother's womb, naked came I out, naked shall I return to the Lord, blessed be the Lord. You can read it, first chapter, end of the verse, or end of the chapter, where he's saying, hey, I came into this world with nothing, God has taken everything away from me, but it's still, blessed be the name of the Lord. What matters most is not the trials we endure, but how we get through them. How we walk through them. And you know the greatest way that people will see if you are a Christian is not by what you say in those times, but by what you actually do in those times. And where your dependency is placed in those times. Job understood because his way was directed before the Lord. Job was that righteous man, that wise man who allowed God to dictate and direct his steps. He understood. He had a wisdom from above that God permitted this. Because at the end of the day, we give the devil far too much credit. Because anything that comes into our lives is permitted by God to work a work for his glory and for our benefit in our life. Job understood that God permitted it even though he didn't understand it. What did God permit? The loss of his 10 children. The loss of all his wealth. All the health concerns, all the things that he endured. And through it all, God was glorified and Job was benefited. Because his relationship was transformed. And none of us like to admit that going through hard times can shape us and mold us. And sometimes we need to. Job understood God permitted it, even though he didn't understand it. He didn't run from God, but he ran to God. You know, when he lost his children, he didn't run from God and shake his fist at God and say, God, how could you? Man, we see in the very first chapter, the first thing he did was he bowed down to the Lord. And he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. Blessed be the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. This is where he ran to. God utilizes various life experiences to mold us, to teach us humility, to foster our growth, to guide us towards improvement, and shower us with blessings. Because it's just as much as a difficulty comes into our lives, as many blessings as God pours out on our life. It's just sometimes the difficulties we highlight more than the blessings. The Bible says the Lord is good to the just and to the unjust. Challenges arise when we face significant hardships, such as cancer diagnosis, the loss of a loved one, or a failed marriage. In these moments, we may distance ourselves from God due to our dissatisfaction with what we perceive he has permitted in our lives. It is during these times that the true nature of our heart is exposed. See, pressure in our lives reveal where our confidence truly is at. You know, before they send that big beam out to be that bridge, to be able to build that bridge with that big gigantic beam. Do you know what they do with those big I-beams that are put on highways that are above? They pressure test them. Well, why do they pressure test them? I mean, they look good for all sake and appearances, man. They look good. They're painted. They're really fat. They're really thick. You know, they look strong. But under pressure, you know what's revealed? Small cracks. Small cracks that could be detrimental. Challenges in our life reveal where our heart is dependent on something other than the Lord. You ever met somebody who's serving the Lord faithfully? Well, why did God let this happen to me? Why is this diagnosis? Why did I lose this? Why did this happen to me? Why this financial reversal? Why this sickness? Why? And what happens is because we don't trust God with the direction of our life, we get angry at God and we turn around and we walk away from God. Well, God, I was going to church. God, I was paying my tithes. God, I was doing everything that I was supposed to be doing. But we fail to miss what Solomon is trying to teach us right now. That one event happeneth to them all. He goes on to say, verse 3, this is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all. One event unto all. Yes, death is that one singular event. But there are events that we will all go through, both the wicked and the righteous, that will be very similar, permitted by God's hand to do a work of God in our life that we do not understand. But we have to trust. It goes on in verse 3 to say, yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead. This would kind of highlight that person that might serve the Lord or conveniently come to church for a time until hardships face. And then because of hardship, I'm gone. I'm going to go back to my evil way, my way. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. Well, I tried God's way and it doesn't work. I went to church and still had hardships and still had difficulties. Pain and pressure on the outside will reveal who we really are relying on the inside. Number one, we all will encounter similar life events. Number two, we all should prepare for what is coming. We all should prepare for what is coming. Look at verse number 4. It says, for him that is joined to all the living. This is talking to the person that's saying, hey, are you alive? Do you hear my words? Okay, you're alive. This is who he's talking to. For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. I love the picture illustration here. You got this big, gigantic, mammoth, beautiful, bearded monster of a lion, but it's dead. And then on this side over here, you got this little yapper. I'm going to call her Polly. And all her teeth are gone. Her tongue hangs out of her mouth. She can barely see. And she's so annoying. That's my wife's dog. And we're going to call that Polly. You know, the Lord says, better than this bearded, beautiful, dead lion would be this little... Well, it's like, that's not funny. This little dog that's living. He's trying to teach us something. Verse 5 says, for the living know not that they shall die. For the living know that they shall die. That person that's alive, we know that we're going to die. At least, hopefully, you understand that, right? As is appointed unto man, wants to die, and after this, the judgment. It goes on to say, for the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. It's gone from their remembrance. They're already dead. Neither have they any more reward, for their memory of them is forgotten. Verse 6 says, also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Basically, they no longer have any work that they can put their hand to in this life. Now I got a question for you. How can we prepare? I want you to ponder on it. You don't have to answer back, but I want you to ponder on this question. How can we prepare for death? If we know it's coming, for the living know that they shall die, why does he highlight a fact that we all know? He highlights this. The question is, how can we prepare for death? Can we really prepare for something when we don't know when it will happen? Could be tomorrow. Could be 50 years from now. Could be when you're 2. Could be when you're 102. We do not know, but yes, we can prepare. You know, as I thought about that person that knows that someday they will die and they will stand before the Lord, I guess the first thing that we should prepare, and I'm not talking about your finances and getting those things in order, although that's very important. But I will say this, the first thing that we can prepare for with the end in sight that we know is coming, prepare to meet your Maker. Are you ready to meet the Lord face to face? And that should put an element of fear into your heart in a good way that makes you evaluate that question. Am I ready? If God were to call me home today, am I ready to meet my Maker? Am I ready to stand face to face before the Lord to give an account of the actions? Am I ready to stand face to face with the Lord? Do I know, is he going to be my judge at that time? for my sins, judging me, pointing us to the question, do you know where you're going when you die? See, when we meet our Maker and we stand before His face, we're either going to spend, Steve, eternity in His presence or eternity separated from His presence in hell. It's a harsh reality and we don't like it. We're like, how could a loving God do such a loving God did this for you, so you have no excuse. If you wake up one day and you remember this sermon in hell, it has nothing to do with God not being gracious enough and God not loving you enough. It has everything to do with you not listening and seeing how much God truly loves you. Are you ready to meet your Maker? I think of all the things that we should prepare for in looking at death, do you know where you're going to go when you die? Do you know that heaven is your home? Would you say that you know your sins are washed under the blood of the Lamb? Have you ever received by faith, not religious religion, you know, from, you know, I was baptized, so I'm going to get to heaven because of that, or I'm this denomination or that denomination, or I had a priest pray and forgive me of my sins, which nobody can, or I had a pastor pray over me, nobody can. I can't pray the Holy Spirit on anybody. That's a gift from God. Has there ever been a time in your life where you realized that you were a sinner? And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. The eternal payment for your sin and my sin, the whole world as a whole, the wages of sin is death. Have you thought about that? Have you contemplated that? Have you sought forgiveness for those sins? The Bible says the gift of God is eternal life. You can't pay for this gift. You can't earn this gift. It's a gift that God wants to give to you for absolutely free. But you must receive it at His hand. Are you ready to meet your Maker? Because we're going to meet our Makers one of two ways, either sinless or full of sin. Sinless being that we have chosen Jesus' righteousness, the blood of Christ to cover all of our sins, and He's imputed all of His righteousness on us, or we will stand before the Lord in our own sin to be judged by God, eternally separated by God in hell. Are you ready to meet your Maker? Listen, today, church, I can't say, I'm going to take the gander that I know many people, but that's the most important thing. Don't assume you have tomorrow. I think another thing, how we can prepare for that end that we know is coming, keep your relationship right with the Lord. Keep your relationship right with the Lord. Too many of us just have that Sunday morning relationship where we show up to church on Sunday. You know, the Bible tells us, get to know the Lord Jesus Christ because we are going to spend all of eternity with Him. It says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Don't wait till you get to heaven to say, oh, I never knew that about you. He would probably say, I wrote it right here in the book of John. I showed you who I was. This book is going to be in heaven. Jesus says it's eternal. He is the Word. Take time to strengthen your relationship now as you prepare for what you know is coming. Another thing, keep your relationships right with others. I've done far too many funerals to see too many people go through life and say, man, I wish I could go say I'm sorry. I wish I could say I love you one more time. I think probably one of the best things the Lord ever did for me was allow me to come up here, and I did many funerals before I came here, but I've never had so much connection with so many people from hospice that were here one day and gone the next, and heard so many struggles and painful realities of truths because, man, we have not dealt well with our relationships. People have passed, and there's been much regret. Hey, you want to know how you prepare? Get your relationships right with others. Don't be too proud. Go say you're sorry. Because you might not have the opportunity tomorrow. Don't be too proud to go seek forgiveness. Humble yourself. Hey, if you're in here, don't be too mean not to forgive. Well, you don't know what they did to me. Listen, until a person can truly grasp what they did to Jesus Christ, you need to forgive. Else you legitimately cannot go to the Lord and seek forgiveness for yourself. I mean, you can, and the Lord will graciously grant that to you, but how can you go to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me, I've sinned against you. I've done these heinous things in secret and in public. Forgive me, but I'm not going to forgive that person that wronged me. Shame on us. Shame on us. Another way that we can prepare for the reality of what we know is coming. Start laying up treasures in heaven. You know, everything that we have here is eventually, that was one of Solomon's biggest gripes, is that he set up mass wealth for himself upon this earth only to realize everything's going to decay. Everything's going to be left to that person that didn't work for it, that person that didn't earn it. It's going to be corrupted. It's going to fall away. When Scripture says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust doth not corrupt them, where thieves do not break forth and to steal. You know, once again, the Laodicean church, when the Lord says, buy of me gold tried in a fire, it's looking to heaven. It's laying up treasures in heaven, not here on this earth. We're going to get to heaven. And some of us, you know, there's some servants of the Lord. I'm like, man, I don't want to be anywhere around you when you get to heaven because you're going to make me look bad. You know, you're going to have all these crowns to give back to the Lord and to pour out. I'm like, man, you know, what have I been doing my whole life? You know, where are the crowns that I have to lay before the Savior's feet? You know, what do I have in heaven to honor the Lord with? Those 20 and 4 elders, when they were in heaven, I heard someone say, well, you don't get crowns. Oh, no, yes, you do. Well, where do you get them from? The Lord gives them to you. Those 20 and 4 elders, what did they do in Revelation chapter 4? They took off the crowns off their head. They put it at his feet. Well, where did they get the crowns from? The Lord. What did they get them for? The work that they did. I don't want to be the guy that says, hey, Lord, I know you saved me. I know you did all these wonderful things for me, but I have nothing to give back to the one who deserves everything because I was too busy laying up for myself treasures in this world that when I'm dead and gone, will just be a source of contention or strife, or the government's going to take them, one of the two. Next, do what you need to do today because there's no guarantee of tomorrow. That last phrase when it says, neither have they any more portion in anything that is done under the sun. You are not guaranteed tomorrow. There are things that you and I need to get right today and take care of today and stop procrastinating. And then next and last for this portion here is leave a legacy behind that will point others to the Lord. If you were to die today and people were to speak at your funeral, what are they going to highlight about your life? I've often thought about that. What are they going to say about me? I mean, you know your heart, you know where, you know, and sometimes we need to stop and think about this because once we are gone, the testimony of our lives will still be seen and heard in the life of those closest to us. You know, Michael, people around you, you're still going to leave that impression in their life. If you died today, what would people remember you by? Is it something that points others to the Lord or points others to your bank account? Is it something that points others to the Lord or look at this great empire that I've built for myself? Or would it be a life lived in sacrifice to the Lord? When it's all said and done and we have passed from this life to the next, there is no second chances. We often take for granted our days as if we are guaranteed tomorrow, which leads us to our last point, which I'm not going to go there today. I'm going to save that for next week. We'll roll that. It's at least another 10, 15 minutes. But, you know, we'll stop with those two points today. But, you know, my question is today is what would people say about you when you pass? You know, how are you doing in the area of, you know, when life hits you hard, you know, and you go through that difficult situation, do you get angry at the Lord? Do you run from the Lord? Or do you submit and yield to the Lord? Are you ready to meet your Maker? Because you're not guaranteed tomorrow, you or I. And so with heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around, How did God speak to you today? Maybe you're going through that hardship and you want to run. You know, God's, you know, trying to shape you right now. He's trying to maybe mold you. Maybe the pressure's on in your life and it's uncomfortable. It doesn't feel good. Let God shape you. Let God mold you. Be still. Maybe you're in a season, though, of great blessing in your life. Man, things are good. Marriage is good. Family's good. Health is good. Bank account's good. Don't let it distract you from the Lord. Hey, everything that we should do or do should bring us to a place to praise and thank the Lord for what He's done and what He's given to us in our life. Are you ready to meet the Lord? You got to ask that question. I want you to give yourself a yes or no right now. And if you say yes, what is that based off of? Is it based off of your good works? Is it based off of what man says? Is it based off of what religion says, or is it based off of what the Bible says? That you have sought the Lord for forgiveness of your sins because He's the only one that can forgive your sins. It's because you received at His hand and you called out to Him, Lord Jesus, save me, forgive me. Lord, I believe that You died on the cross for me and shed Your blood for me. What about relationships with others? Have you been keeping them right, or is there tension in the home? How you doing in the area of laying up treasures in heaven? I don't know how God spoke to you today, but I will say this. Pray it in, take it home, live it out. As the worship team comes, let's pray. Lord, I love You, and I thank You so much, Father, for just the Word of God. And Lord, I do pray that You would help us. Lord God, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would teach us, convict us, challenge us. Lord, as we know, death is coming. Lord, help us not to be ignorant of it, living as though it's not going to happen. Lord, realizing that we only have so much time in a day, and once it's gone, it's gone. Lord God, help us to be careful. Help us to be diligent. Lord, I ask and pray that You bless now Your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand.
If you would like more information about today's sermon or how to become a follower of Jesus Christ, please visit the Contact Us page at brimleyworship.com.